I was. Marsha and I were chatting. According to my iPad, it's 5:17. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It is Tuesday, January 28th, 5:17 p.m. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Eagle.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on January 14th. Were there any changes or corrections that needed to take place? Okay.
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Number three is Mr. Langlo. Rosie, I believe you got a call from him and said we're going to have to postpone that.
Yes.
Okay. So, next up is the request for street closing. Junior Achievement. Let me see if I can get her loaded up. Okay. August 2nd. Is that 2nd? 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Any changes that we know of? Rosie, you haven't heard of any changes or anything from past years?
I think it's exactly the same.
Okay.
Say what?
Right. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, just kind of paused in my answer.
Okay, that's okay. Looks like our department heads have signed off on it, so I'll make a motion that we approve the street closing for Junior Achievement's annual car and truck show for August 2nd, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion or questions?
Question.
Yes.
Did we do the notification to the DBA?
They don't have one anymore, do they?
Well, we really probably need to change that form to Main Street.
Oh.
Because there isn't a DBA, there's a Main Street group now.
And who do I get it to?
Leanne Minier.
Oh, okay.
Yep, good catch. Good catch. Jeff, do you know if they know about it or not? I'm assuming they do, but...
We haven't made it part of our official business, but yeah, they know about it.
Okay.
There wouldn't be a problem with it.
Okay.
I'll make sure it's
more. Yeah. Is it too difficult to change that form to Main Street?
No.
Okay. Instead of DBA. Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up is the financing for potential stormwater projects. Jeffrey?
This project's a little different than our usual wastewater and water projects because we typically, in a case like that, don't have cash reserves, so we have to bond for it. In this case, what we're planning on doing is funding it through kind of a two-pronged approach, cash reserves, and then I've been told by Rosie Ostry, from Buzz Crone's office that they can get very favorable financing locally with some of our local financial institutions ranging from about 3 to 3.5%, so which is very favorable. And so what we did was to look at the consultants' estimated construction cost of the project and plug that number in for a bunch of different types of financing to give the board a little idea. The most updated, as of last week, estimated construction cost was $820,000 plus a contingency, so we rounded it off to $900,000. Typically, an engineering firm does not want to be the low bidder, so I anticipate favorable bids coming in at less than that, but you'll want to use that kind of as a benchmark. And so what they've done is to put together financing if we would borrow all $800,000, $600,000, $400,000 based off of, I think, a 10-year and a 7-year term. And then after the fact, before I jump to that, we've got more than adequate debt coverage for any of those options. Okay, so in other words, we've got a lot more revenue coming in than the payments would be. So we're in good shape there. And then subsequent to that, the mayor asked what a shorter term would be. So the next page shows a four-year term, which is a pretty aggressive term, I might say. Probably more than my conservative nature would be comfortable with. And then, as I reported at the retreat, there is some consideration of a hybrid of these by borrowing from the electric department in-house and keeping those interest payments within the business organization of the city, within the umbrella, but to another utility. And I know that Marcia would be able to very quickly craft an agreement between the two utilities if that was the case. Just to give you a little time frame of where we're at on this project, February 11th, we're doing an updated common construction wage hearing. Then the 28th, we plan on approval of the consulting firm for the inspection services. I would like the board's approval to begin advertising, put the bid letting out, advertising for potential construction firms at this time. We typically give them between 30 and 45 days to review the project manual and the plans, and then they would obviously come back, be accepted by the Board of Works, and then awarded after that. I would still like to see that the first break of weather, end of March, 1st of April, for construction to begin on that. It's anticipated, well, it's in the contracts, that it'll be a 150-day project to substantial completion, and final completion 180 days. So we're looking at a six-month project. Should easily wrap it up yet this year. So I guess at this point, financing, correct me, Mayor, if I'm not right, but a recommendation from the board to the council would be appropriate, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Because ultimately, with the financing portion, you know, obviously we're the utility board, so I think a recommendation in regards to financing package of some sort going to the council would be probably the right move. Jeff, are you asking, and I'm trying to remember, I know we've talked about this, but I've had many discussions since then. Are you asking for this board to make a decision tonight to pass on to the council, or would you like us to review the options and then...
You know, this is a moving target, mm-hmm. as it stands anyway, but this will give you the generalities.
Okay.
I don't think that you necessarily have to tonight because, frankly, you're not going to know what that final number is
right.
until the bids are accepted
right.
and awarded.
Okay.
We've got bids, and then we've got the consulting services mm-hmm. that I just passed out to you folks today. Mm-hmm. So you've got that mm-hmm. number to plug in as well. So, yeah, it's...
So you're okay if we kind of... Because I really would like to... Sean and I haven't gotten a chance to sit down and talk about maybe what opportunities and there may be to kind of do the cross... Department.
He told me that he would have a very, very favorable interest rate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Excellent. He had told me earlier he was a loan shark, so I didn't know how that.
He's in recovery mode.
That's fine. But I would like to have approval to advertise uh-huh. the project now.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you'd like to? Okay. So two different things. Number one, are we okay with him advertising moving forward with the stormwater project?
Yes, yeah. I concur.
Yes, okay. Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so you're good with that. Now, regarding the financing, I'll tell you honestly, the reason that I thought about a four-year term is because in knowing that we have two more phases of this plan coming up. Is it two more phases?
It's subsequent phases.
Yeah.
That would
assist in this whole I mean, it would be yeah. add-ons to what we're putting in right now.
Right.
So I guess my thought was with the four-year term, my thought was is that then we're ready for the next one to go, you know, those kind of things. But one thing that we can discuss is specifically maybe what kind of dollar option you're expecting to come from the stormwater utility. If you would prefer to go with, you know, $800,000 would be the majority, obviously the large majority of the project. $600,000 is a little, obviously $200,000 less than that. $400,000 is about half it has these. So it just depends on what kind of your opinions are as to how much we should actually pay in cash versus how much we should finance.
So Jeff, by putting it out, we would have a idea of what estimate cost would be to help us determine which dollar amount to we
want. Once you accept the bids for the contractors, you're going to have an exact number.
Right.
And then obviously you're going to have a number for the inspection services too. So well, that would be the final two pieces.
What I hear everybody say is I think we're all for it. We just don't know what makes the best choice
right.
until we probably get closer to that dollar value. And internally we have some options, but if we go out of internally, then that takes time. You need time to prepare for the bonds and all that, right?
If you went out, this yeah. we don't have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no bonds part of this on any right. option. Okay.
Yeah, because my fear is with going with the whole 800,000 is draining that reserve down to next to nothing.
The our cash balance is about 900,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
And that would clear down to.
If we were to pay for the majority out of cash reserves.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
100% out of that. But
yeah.
I would love to say, yeah, let's do it that mm-hmm. way, but I'm also concerned with, it doesn't take a whole lot to burn $100,000 in case right. something happens.
Right, I agree.
Right, and I know, Sean, you know, there's some big projects out there pending for the electrical department, and again, I think we're all saying the same thing. We just want to make sure we pick the best choice. Yeah. And so probably a little more time mm-hmm. for evaluating the options.
Do you think it's, let me put this out here. Do you think it's at least fair that we strike option one or at least don't give as high consideration to financing $800,000 of the $800-and-some-thousand-dollar project? Are we all kind of in consensus that we want to put a little bit more dollars toward it than just $100,000-some of cash reserves toward the project?
Right.
Yeah.
My goal would be half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's about where I am too, Walt, honestly.
I kind of agree with that as well. I just knowing what we got coming up, I hate to drain that down to nothing.
Okay. So I guess what at least preliminarily, just to give you something to take away, Jeff, it sounds like that we're looking either at the 600 or maybe preferably the 400 thousand in the amount that we actually borrow. But I think you're right, Walt. I think having a little bit more time going through those, that gives me an opportunity to talk with Sean and see maybe what his department is willing to do or what I can get him to do. I absolutely agree with you, and so we'll take it under advisement.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? I don't want to cut the other board members off.
So you're talking option three, possibly.
Potentially. Okay. That's at least right now. That would be my preferred option. My preferred option would be option three at 4 years. But that's that's me. But we'll keep talking about it. Yeah.
Okay.
So okay. And as always, if you have questions about how some of these things work out, questions about the numbers or whatever, certainly can contact Jeff and he can work through this a little bit better. Okay? Okay. Next up is a request for leave of absence without pay. Chief Longaball couldn't be with us tonight. He is on his way down to Indianapolis for the Indiana Chiefs Association, something or other, Indian Police Chiefs, I don't know how it is, but it's Police Chiefs Conference of sorts. So he brought this to our attention. And Rosie, do you know anything more than what's on the form?
No, I haven't got any orders yet,
right.
But just what he had put on here, and he does this usually
a
couple times.
Yep.
Any motion?
Yep.
I make a motion that we approve the request for a leave of absence without pay as presented.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Next up, is the boiler quotes. And I see Troy's here. Hi, Troy. And Troy, do you want to kind of give us kind of a little background on what has happened and why this is in front of us?
Absolutely. Our dinosaur is dying, and a lot has happened over the past few years as far as, you know, efficiency and boilers. I certainly had my eyes open. We have an old boiler that best guesstimate I can give you, it's been installed roughly around the time City Hall was, in agreement with that, Rosie, back in maybe 1991. Was installed, and I'm not sure it was new at that point. Possibly it was, but it's pretty old. Our gas consumption on that is just astronomical, you know, which is we have at this point. We've done a good job of maintaining it, limping it along. Unfortunately, we are starting to leak water. Usually when a boiler starts to leak water, there's not much life left to it. We may be able to limp it along for a year or so, but we are gambling every day. So, with that being said, I approached Rosie and told her the dilemma that we had, and we needed to aggressively pursue an option as far as getting approval to get a new boiler put in. And we agreed upon having specs written and estimates given for some local contractors. The spec sheets, you know, I put quite a bit of thought into. The one we have now is about a million BTU unit. And the bad thing with that is if it goes down, we're down. I mean, we have no option reserved for heat. So I was suggesting that we put two 500,000 BTU units in. That way, if one were to go down, we would have some backup and at least stop the pipes from freezing in the building. It's not going to keep it 80 degrees in here and T-shirt warm, but it's going to stop us from, you know, catastrophes. So there are many options out there, and I went with a couple people I trusted as far as helping educate me on what was available, and I found one that we really liked. It was called a Lochinvar. And some options as far as, you know, what we should put in, you know, to get the best usage out of that, to help protect it as long as we could. The units are a lot smaller than the previous one. I had written the specs and got them out to all three local contractors. Only two replied. One was about $5,000, $4,300 cheaper than the other. They were almost identical on their specs. I don't know where the difference came from. So I guess that's where we're at. I have the options, you know, before you with a piece of paper from Redmond's and Flowtech. They're worded very similar. Flowtech did attach a piece of paper that we'd asked them to give us more specifics on their warranty. And they highlighted a section of that. I'm not sure if it transpired on your copy. But anyway, it's right there for you to read and understand. My opinion is that we go with the cheaper one in this case. Not always the case, but in this one that we do. They're both in good standing as far as I'm concerned, you know, with City Hall. I've used them both for different things. Currently, Flowtech does most of our work now. I don't know what else you may, if you have any questions for me or any.
The unit that we're replacing, what's the efficiency of that? This is 94%.
Yeah, that's very low. Well, I can't tell you exactly, but I'm guessing around 70%.
The one that we have in place?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the one we have in place today, what's the BTU of that one?
That's a million.
It's a million, okay.
The BTU will be the same, but it should be brought up in two units or similar.
Roy, could you explain a little bit what they were telling us about Mexico?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Also, and this is based on the rate of what we pay, but there's a rebate involved. The $900 roughly, to my best guesstimate, it's $900 we'll be getting back in a cash rebate, and that's more like a energy efficiency rebate, like something you've heard about, like in homes and so forth, as they upgrade efficiency. So I know that that right there will be coming off the total price of this as well. And there is another associated cost, which isn't much, but that I wanted to mention. On the door that we have down there now, the door slab, there's two large holes cut in them for venting because it has to pull combustion air in order to fire off. The way these units are I guess, designed is that is no longer needed. So we don't have to have two holes letting cool air in our building constantly. So I'd like to also upgrade, and I did not add that into this cost, but my guess is, you know, $300 roughly to probably have a new slab put on. But it'll stop a lot of cool air from coming in. And I think that's all. That's all I'm gonna. Oh, also, on you see on that fire and control option on Redmond's bid there, I contacted our insurance company. We have no current requirement for that at this time. That was a concern that Mike Redmond had about that because he says sometimes they do have that. You're probably familiar with this, and all you're familiar with the IRI rating of it. That's what it used to be called. Now they call it the G gap or the factory mutual, which is just more along the lines of I guess how it fires off and this, like, it's more of a safety control. And I didn't see really the need in putting it in the specs at the time I wrote the specs. So.
What funding source would we look at?
We're still deciding that.
Okay.
It kind of came up after budgets were done. I don't know. Did I tell you, Troy, what they said about the usage would be cut back probably a third?
So it will pay for itself roughly. You know, I'm guesstimating, obviously, but I would say within 3 or 4 years, the cost of the unit will pay for itself and what we're going to save in the gas usage, depending, obviously, on the market of gas and the price that we're being charged.
Okay.
Hey, where does this money come from?
Yeah, that's what I just asked. The answer is we're still figuring that out. Now, I think if I remember right, didn't we put money aside in CUMCAP Improvement Fund for City Hall Improvements?
Yeah, we probably got enough in there. Yeah. It's just that will...
It means I have to get rid of my bathroom project, which I'm...
Well, maybe not all of it.
Maybe not all of it, okay.
Let's not cut that out quite yet.
Okay.
But, you know, the interesting thing is about this is, you know, that we were able, that, you know, with some forethought of you, that, hey, let's do something down in the bathrooms to help make them, you know, look good. We have money available. We didn't actually intend on that happening this way, but at least there is, you know, some money available if we choose to go that route.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just nice to realize that the efficiency is something, I guess, that just really interests me as far as saving the money back. And the bad news is it takes about 3 days of downtime to put this thing in, and we haven't discussed this yet, but... my hope was that we could limp it along until spring, but I guess what I'm asking you for today is to make a decision on it based on the fact that if something were to happen and it were to go down, we would have it readily available to put in with 3 days of downtime versus, you know, just kind of being caught.
You know, is there an option where we can ask them to put it in, say, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or...
That is an option. However, they didn't bid them that way. I'm sure it's going to be more money because it's going to involve overtime. And they did ask me about that, and I told them we'd cross that bridge when we came to it. And that was something you guys wanted to do. We would discuss it at that time.
I think that's a valid question, Dan, that we need to consider because if we're attempting to do it in the wintertime, who knows what 3 days is going to happen. So, I mean, if the timing, unfortunately, is not the best timing, but we're at risk, we may want to get a adjustment to that.
And I truly do feel that we, you know, potentially are at risk because, you know, like I said, there's no backup here. If that thing goes down, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
we're going to be spending a lot of money for a lot of temporary things.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something we need to consider.
We also have a holiday coming up. I mean, I don't know how fast this would happen, but there's a holiday coming up that we might be closed on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That's here in the next couple of weeks, I believe.
They say how long, once they place the order, how long does it be?
Jeff has just asked me that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't ask him that. I'm guessing within a few weeks, but I don't know that. My thought was about, you're talking about the holiday as well coming up. My thought was that also, and when I had asked, I don't remember who it was, Mike from Ribbons or Jim from Flotec, who I asked at the time, but they thought that was a definite possibility of working that into that time frame if that was something we were looking into doing.
Always got to be concerned about the police. They're in here 24/7.
Yeah. Well, and I think dispatch. Yeah, and I think that's what's important about what Troy said is, you know, if it were to blow out tomorrow, you know, I think that's why. And I did request that he do this fairly quickly and get in front of you at this meeting just in case it blew out, because I think if I remember right, somebody had said one of the two companies or whatever had said it could blow out tomorrow, it could blow out in 5 months, it could blow out. So we don't know.
It could blow out for a couple of years, but the potential of it going is scary.
Right, and it gets higher the more water it starts to leak and stuff. So so kind of to get to your point, I think my goal would be that we find a way to get it done in the spring where the temperatures aren't too bad, you know, if that's possible. But at the very least, if it does bust tomorrow, that we at least have the approval from the works.
So we can have everything set in here. And then we just pick...
Basically just gets paused.
Right.
Yeah.
That way, if something would break, we have the equipment to... Instead of putting more money into it to repair it, we'll have the equipment here to replace
that,
it.
Yeah, that I think if we approve this, then certainly he can go back to the bidder that we approve and say, okay, you can go ahead and get it ordered. We're going to go from you. We're just not sure about when it's going to be installed. But get it ordered, so if it does go out, we're ready to go.
I think it's a good plan.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
Okay, so your recommendation is Flotec?
Yes.
Okay. And just one last question I have, and I don't know. It says the bid is valid for 30 days. I'm to assume that bid means we can approve it up to the next 30 days, and it's not going to change. Not that we have to get the project done.
Yeah,
their
costs from their manufacturers are based on they will hold them for them for 30 days. So that's why that's in most bids.
But just to be clear, these prices aren't going to expire in 30 days. It's just this bid for the service. So once we lock in the service,
yeah,
it's set at that price.
So that's right.
I'm just trying to make sure that we're...
Yeah, and I will confirm that, but,
yeah.
But that's the way I understood it.
Okay. That's usually how it is. I just want to make sure.
So okay. Make sure I'm clear. We're gonna go ahead and enter into the agreement of purchase. Installation is to be determined for warmer weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Date-wise, yes, absolutely.
And, but if something would happen, at least we would have it here.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that?
That's what I'd like to have done.
Okay.
I make a motion that we go with a bid from Flotec in the amount of $30,915 with the date of installation to be determined, yet to be determined.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate your hard work on that. Okay. Next up is the training reimbursement policy. Sean, I know you and Marcia have been working on this a little bit, so.
Yeah, basically this is just something that we need to get put in place for our two newest hires, which will be right around the corner this week or next. We're going to probably offer those positions. What this does is it guarantees the city that if we hire somebody and send them through training, that they're going to guarantee at least, and forgive me if we went with 3 or 5 years, Marcia.
Three years
after they complete the training. With the service to the city. Otherwise, if they do leave, they'll have to reimburse for the training that we did pay for them. As we've talked before, there is a problem and a little bit of a problem with some of the smaller utilities where we're training these guys and they get our training, we pay for it, and then they take jobs elsewhere. So this is just a little bit of a security for us that these guys will stick around and not We're not out all that money. Marcia drafted this basically from scratch, so she's pretty good.
And just a note, because just I want to confirm, because the way we crafted this was a prorated reimbursement over time. It's full reimbursement if they quit during the course or if they're involuntarily terminated, but otherwise it's prorated. So I want to make sure you understood that. It's not full if you work for 2 years. You don't have to pay everything.
Oh.
But you'll pay a third.
Yeah.
Right. He'll be granted two-thirds.
It's the same way as our tuition reimbursement.
Only the opposite. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
Reading through it.
Yeah.
No, this has been a long time coming, so I thank you, Sean, and everybody that worked on it. So.
And I think in the latest round of interviews, I made it perfectly clear that this was going to be something they were going to have to sign, and everyone is okay. Expressed no concerns with signing it. So.
Right. Just to be clear, though, we hire in individuals that become grounds people, right?
Exactly.
And so then they have the option to gain in rank and education, if you will,
yes.
Or status and whatever this proper term is. But so when they make that decision to go up the scale, that's when they are choosing by going up the scale to sign this.
Exactly.
So they can stay a grounds person for as long as they want.
Absolutely. The only class we're going to make mandatory probably would be the first initial class, which is the pole climbing class,
mm-hmm.
Or what we call boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
It really thins out the herd sometimes, and it guarantees that the people that are here really want to be here and they want to work hard. And, so that class may not be subject to this policy, but we do have a schedule in there where we can list all the classes and the expenses acquired for the voluntary classes that they do take. So
okay.
And we can always use groundsmen. So if someone decides they don't want to move up any farther, you know, it's we always have someone on the ground anyway. So
yep.
We'll find a place for them.
Okay.
That just doesn't mean just because someone wants to move up the chain, so to speak. That's basically any type of training, correct? Even if it's not showing as an advancement in...
That's correct. Any voluntarily requested training that the city's paying for, whether they've moved up or not, that is not...
That's what I thought, but I was hearing a couple different things going on there because I know there's a lot of training to keep you. that technology changes, obviously, and just... You're not moving up the chain, but you're still advancing your position as far as staying up to speed with what's going on. So I wanted to make sure, you know, we're still paying for that person to stay, you know, up to speed with what's happening. That's still some education we're paying for, and not just because they're moving up.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's covered by this. So there's nothing about advancement in the policy.
Is that something that we would start in the electric department and potentially move outside the electric department into other departments?
What's that?
This reimbursement program.
This is for all
this
utilities.
For all.
It's all
matter
utilities.
Of fact, on the form, you put which utility you're dealing with.
Okay.
That's how.
But I guess what I'm asking is, will the police start falling into this? Will the fire start falling into this? Will the? I guess what I'm saying is outside of the.
I've made it for utilities only, not for.
We have one.
I think the police have one too.
We have one as well.
It's a reimbursement program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ours is you pass it or you pay back, and
okay.
We don't have it as if they leave, but it's a pass or pay back.
Okay. Okay. Have all the utility superintendents have a chance to look at this?
Yeah.
In the Dropbox, yeah.
Okay. I can't speak on my... I don't want to say that the police... I don't know what theirs is, but I know they have something very similar to that one.
Okay. I guess the only concern I have, now that we're talking about this in this kind of setting, the only concern I have is that we have multiple types of systems going on in the city as a whole. That would be my only concern, but that's not to say that we can't maneuver. I'm just saying I just, when we have one department or one department doing this, another department doing this, and then,
well,
so.
I guess I can understand that, but I think there's different guidelines that goes under the fire and police,
yeah,
and then the rest of us.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I'm sorry. I just say I know you have captains and training officers, and the police has captains and training officers who they go to special training, but mm-hmm. I believe they're paid to go to that, correct?
Right.
Okay, I mean, that's part of their continuing education for the full-time people.
Right. And the reason we don't have the, if you leave within a three-year period, is because the training for a volunteer and a full-time when the basic level is the same, and they both, and if a volunteer moves outside of our two-mile residency requirement, you're going to have a very tough time telling a volunteer to reimburse for the cost of that training, especially now that a lot of the nominal, or the, not a lot of the costs on our training is paid by the state. We only have to pay for the mileage, the food, mm-hmm. the hotel rooms, whatever that.
Okay.
Does dispatch fall under the police? Or is that, I mean, I'm just curious.
No, the training, we don't have any training that's mandatory like that incurs any cost.
In fact, the dispatch has had some difficulty finding training in the nearby region. I mean, without sending them to Nashville, Tennessee, or places like that, it's been very, very difficult for them to find training opportunities. Mike, I know you had. Did you have something?
We have a policy in place that new hirees have to obtain a Class 1 within a year,
mm-hmm.
and they have to pass that. If they don't, then they're terminated. Okay.
So that'd be the same thing as what Sean's saying in regards to the groundsmen, that they have to take one class.
Yeah, they have to take it, and like I said, and it's kind of like that. It weeds them out. If they don't pass it, they know their job is on the line. They have to pass it, or they're not working for
right.
us.
So I take it, it's just two different levels. I mean, this is across everybody, okay? But within each department, there could be more.
Well, that's mandatory training.
Yeah.
And this is...
That's
a little different. We don't... We haven't had... There was one instance that, you know, the person didn't make it, so I terminated them. And there was... We did not have them reimbursed, but that might have been something that we probably should look at, because obviously we didn't keep them, and we put money into them, and then we lost that money.
Okay.
So I'd be interested in this form going along with what we already have in place, too.
I got it.
So, Mayor, maybe we, I mean, I'm okay if we kind of do this as a, what, the first reading, but then review it to give you time to make sure.
Oh, yeah, I feel comfortable with it now that we've talked it out. Okay. I guess for some reason I had missed them, and it's my fault, I'm sure. I missed the memo that this was a utility-wide thing. I thought this was just pertaining to electric. So that's my fault, not their fault. That's my fault.
Okay.
So, I feel comfortable with it, and now having a little better understanding as to each of the departments kind of have their own certain thing, I feel comfortable with it. So,
I would say one thing. That it doesn't, it is utilities, so it doesn't cover like the parks department. Would they ever have any voluntary training?
I don't know what kind of training per se they would be. I don't know where that. Yeah.
I'm not here, but I can't.
Well, by the time they know with the park department, there are some things that goes with the pool, and there are some. I think there are some training opportunities for the different apparatuses that are out there. As far as maintenance on playground equipment to the pools to...
Wouldn't that be mandatory? I mean, if you're going to be in that position, you have to have that training?
I'm not so sure we have it set up like that right now as far as in the job descriptions, as far as what responsibilities they have to have in our job descriptions.
But one of the things I was thinking, given the conversation, on the very first line, it says the employees of the City of Columbia City's various utilities, okay? One thing I could do is change that to departments excluding public safety may voluntarily desire. And therefore, we would include, because actually street, I suppose, I think... In that way, we're including some of these that may not be called technically a utility,
right.
And obviously parks isn't.
Right. Well, but I think it goes back to the main point that if we're going to send our employees off to get training on whatever it is, whether it's a piece of equipment, whether it's leadership, whatever it is, if we're going to send our employees out and we're going to invest money in them, not only, obviously, you know, for the classes themselves, but also for, you know, if there's lodging issues, if there's food issues, whatever, I do think it makes sense for the investment of us to be City of Columbia City employees.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the revision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that would.
Right. Department heads, I know a couple of you talked. Kelly, are you okay with that? Are you okay with that provision?
Yeah, ours is mandatory CDL. Okay.
So that's why I think you guys all have it anyways. I just want to make sure that, you know, if we're going to do this, because ultimately we need to pass this on to the council for them to approve as a employee policy. So I feel comfortable with it.
I'll make a motion that we accept the training reimbursement policy as presented, with the revision that Marcia brought in, with including all city employees, including park department.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear though, Marcia, you had also said excluding
public
safety, yeah, because of their special. Yeah. Okay. And I'll second that motion. Any further discussion or questions?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Clarify, this says voluntary basis to go to enhance myself for schooling.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a full-time employee and my qualifications and my job description says you need license, whatever, and I go and get that license, and then after I get that license, 6 months later I decide to quit and go someplace else. Is that?
That's the point. That's the one of the main issues.
Okay, I just
want to
make sure I'm
right,
following the main point.
You're getting these skills that you could now go work for some other company when you just got it all paid for.
Well, involuntary versus requirement, I'm just making sure I understood. It's because it's really falling into both. I mean, I'm volunteering to enhance myself because of my job qualifications. It's a requirement that says I need this license. I don't have an option to volunteer. I have to get the license.
So Walt's issue is the second paragraph, or the second, so A2, that says training voluntarily sought by the employee. That's what your issue is that we're saying if they're mandated to go to training,
right,
that we're trying to protect our investment there as well.
Yes.
So it should be voluntary or involuntary. Is that what you're saying?
Right, because I've invested.
I don't know if we
I've
can do that or
not. Several hundred
but
dollars.
I don't think. I don't know that you could. That may be a little tough. If I want to, let's just say you have five levels in the department, and I want to move up to level 3, and to do that, I have to have certain training. But I still voluntarily am wanting to move to level 3. It's not the employer isn't saying you shall move to level 3 or we're firing you.
Mm-hmm.
That's voluntary because you are voluntarily wanting to reach that higher level. So the city has invested all these funds in you. You get your training and you become licensed to do all this other stuff, and then you say, hey, I'm going to XYZ company. This is great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're – that right? I mean, this is what we were trying to say. Look, okay, you're going to do that. Then you mm-hmm. do need to repay us for that.
If we tell them they need to go to a class and it's mandatory, I don't think we have a leg to stand on legally for reimbursement for that money.
To force them to sign, we're saying you got to do this, and you
right,
got to sign this.
I would have a problem with that.
Okay.
But that's a good point. That's a really good point. That's a very good point. I agree. Okay. Are there any other?
No, sir.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions?
Yeah, they get it.
Yes.
I just wanted to add that is just a requirement for a class 1, and if they never go any farther. Class 1 gives them a good understanding, so they're not walking around. They can actually tell you why they're there, what they're doing.
That's kind of the baseline, right? I mean, that's the point. Everyone has to get to a baseline.
That's the first license, and if they never go any farther, then that's them. But they have to have that, and then the rest is voluntary.
Right.
And, you know, the more they know, the more they make. So
Roger.
It's up to them at that point.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Motion and second. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, bills. Did everyone get a chance to look over the bills? Would you like to make a motion?
Make a motion. We pay the bills as presented in the amount of $1,524,846.06.
I'll second that. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. We're going to postpone department head reports till council. Anything else? Walt, you got anything?
No, sir.
Anything for Board of Works? Marcia?
Yeah.
Rosie? Dan?
Okay.
Yeah, she'll talk to you next week. Okay, then we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you. It's 2 minutes late. Sorry, Walt.
That's all right.
Hey, happy birthday.
No, it's not me.
To her, yeah.
Well, you know, you're one in the same.
That's true.
Two become one.
That's right.
Go away.
Be back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In some ways, yes.
What's that?
I'm not saying.
Yeah, I got to take it.
It's like you guys are training.
You know what? Every time Langlois says that he's not going to come.